It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are in the midst of a five-part series focused on the Tuolumne County Supervisors. This week, Anaya Kirk, who represents District 3, is our guest. Supervisor Kirk, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you, BJ and Clark Broadcasting for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So District 3, where does it all cover?
So it's one of the biggest districts. It starts at the top, basically a 108, works its way down the corridor. Strawberry, Pinecrest, Sierra Village, Miwok, Twain Heart. It wraps down around Soulsbyville Road, Whittam Carn Road, and then out towards Tuolumne City and back up Ponderosa Hill. So it kind of does a big fish hook as far as communities goes. But yeah, it's a very large portion of the community.
So you've almost completed your first year as supervisor. How has the experience been?
The experience has been, that's a loaded question. I could probably go on that for a long time. It's been a good experience. It's been an honor to serve in this role. I think for me, one of the things, you know, it's kind of a catch-22 where you want to come in and learn and observe and understand the process, but you also want to be who you are and what you represent and what you campaigned on. So for me, it's been a balance of those two things. I think one of the biggest things I've discovered this last year is how, you know, and it's kind of a naive thing to say, but it's the reality of it is how important the budget is. Nobody campaigns on the budget, but, you know, you campaign on roads and fire and other things. But I spent a lot of time trying to understand the budget and going through the folders and going back, creating graphs and charts and trying to just get a big picture of where we were, where we are, and where we're going to go.
So what is your opinion on the overall budget that was approved this year and then looking ahead to future years as well?
Well, so first of all, I've looked back at some previous year's budgets and some of the presentations, and they were, I mean, I guess the best way to say it is just kind of not really transparent, kind of boring the way they're presented. This year around with Tracy Riggs, our new CAO, transparency was really big for the board and for her. And for me, you know, trying to get the county to run like a business was big on my list. So I think the budget presentation was definitely done much better. There's always room for improvement, and that'll happen in the years that lie ahead. But transparency, I also think There's a lot of discussion about some of the projects that have gone on in the past. And so for me, looking at past budgets, looking into the future, it's important to me to know the big picture. And so what I've discovered is since 2010, the ending balance, the average ending balance for our fund is around $2.9 million. And then since 2015, the average ending balance is about 2.5. So it is slowly decreasing as we move on. As most people know, our general fund is about $76 million. But with any county government, what we do is we provide services. Most of our money goes towards payroll. So our general fund cost for payroll in 2018-19 was around $45 million, close to $46 million. So when you have a county that provides services, whether it's plans review, Parks and Rec, I mean, you can go through the whole, you know, district attorney, sheriff, probation. All these departments provide services, and those services require people, and people are the most expensive part of any government agency. So, you know, looking into the future, we do have PERS, which is a major issue. The cost to do business for PERS is going up substantially. We do have some deferred maintenance with a lot of our buildings that are older. Something I would like to do is to build more reserves, pay off debt. We do have some debt that has accumulated over the years. And then, of course, we need to continue to pay our staff a comparable wage compared to other communities and county governments in order to retain, you know, those critical positions. So, you know, I think there's been discussion about revenues, you know, moving forward. And it's going to be, you know, let me back up a little bit. A few board meetings ago, we had discussion about raising revenues, and coming into county government and seeing all the services we provide and seeing the cost to do business, I absolutely want to support, I absolutely want to support the our local government and local agencies. I want to make sure they're funded and that we can continue to provide those services. But a while back, I voted no on any tax increase for TOT or sales tax at the 1%, just simply because I look around the state. We're the most overtaxed state in the union. We want the basics in government. We want, or our local citizens want the basics from government. We want fire protection. We want roads. We drive on third-world roads. So, I voted no against that at the beginning because, like I stated in some of the board meetings, I want to go to the governor's office and just have a frank conversation with either him or some of the top executives there to show them our budget, to show them that, look, the rural counties, we're completely outvoted when it comes to the legislators. We're completely out of sight, out of mind. The only time that we do get any attention is when we have major catastrophic events like the Rim Fire, the Paradise Fire, or now with fire insurance. And so I'm just trying to get more attention. And so after our board reconsidered, that approach, I do support. When it's all said and done, we don't raise taxes. The Board of Supervisors does not raise taxes. So people need to understand that clearly. After we agreed to go after that meeting with the governor's office and present that, and there's other ways to present that information through CSAC and RCRC. But the example I look at is with the insurance commissioner. He had no idea what was going on with our insurance rates up here. We've been dealing with this since post-Rim Fire. And it wasn't until we went up there and had a meeting with them. Even then, they didn't think that we had an issue. But we came back and word got back to them that they weren't paying attention to our concerns. And that's what spurred them coming out here. That's what spurred them having more town hall meetings throughout the rural communities. And so really, I just want to be in the government's face at the state level and say, look, we have these basic needs. I have a whole list of things that I want to meet with them on. But if I can get more fire funding and if I can get more funding for roads, just those two things would change a lot of people's lives up here. So moving forward, I do support letting the ballot go to the constituents, go to the voters. Let them decide if they think, if they want to continue to fund our, fund services at a higher level. I know for me and our board, we've made a commitment to fire and, specifically for me, I want to pay down more debts, more liabilities, build up our reserves. Those are things that I want to do. And so I support letting the constituents have that decision. And no matter what they decide, I'm going to be the best steward I can with what what is there now and in the future. And, I think that's a good place to leave that, to let the constituents decide what they want to see Tuolumne County do moving forward.
Has there been any movement to this point to possibly get a meeting with the governor to voice your concerns?
So our CAO's office has spoke with one of his top financial advisors. People were still pursuing that meeting. I'll be bringing it up again at the next board meeting because, we did just get out of the budget. We had a lot of time and energy absorbed from staff into that. But yeah, that's hot on my list, and there'll be more to come with that.
Need to take a break. We're talking with Supervisor Anaya Kirk, who represents District 3 on this weekend's Motherlode Views. It is in the midst of our five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. Next week in studio, we'll be joined by Supervisor Sherry Brennan. I'm BJ Hansen. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.